In July, the Cape Cod Commission launched the first of two online games designed to make community planning fun while providing a context for learning and action. We talked about the first game in August, and Paul Neswicki, Executive Director of the Cape Cod Commission, joins us with an update as the second game prepares to launch. Good morning.
Good morning, Mindy.
Okay, so that first game that we talked about geared towards water quality, but with game two, you're including more issues, right? Civics and economics, consensus building. So tell us about what the second game is all about.
Yeah, the second game is really to take some of the information that was gathered in the first one, although you don't have to play the first one, and to think critically about it and to solve problems. So it's really putting people in charge of the problem and solving it. And we have done a lot of outreach to schools on this one, so we expect that we'll have a younger cohort, more people that are in school. So the structure itself begins on October 21st and runs through November 11th. So that's 3 weeks. And there's one mission each week. And so the missions are broken up into four blocks. And those blocks now are based on issues of geography, math, civics, biology, economics, chemistry, all of which relate back to the problem of nutrient management on the Cape and our degraded water quality.
So now, this, as you mentioned, is geared towards middle and high school students, and you've reached out to the school. So is this something that they're going to be incorporating in their curriculum, or is it sort of an extra credit thing? How's it going to work?
We see it working best as sort of an extra credit add-on to a lot of courses. It certainly has, it attaches to sort of environmental science courses, but because we've sort of broken it up the way that we have, I think all of those potential courses could use it, with geography, math, civics, biology, economics, chemistry. So we would see it as sort of a homework assignment and an add-on.
Yeah. Now, of course, it's not exclusive to students, right? The game might be good for those who aren't able to get out to public meetings. So by participating in this game, how are you participating in the public process?
Well, we've learned from the first game that we ran in the summer, where we had over 400 registered players, that in the sort of demographic breakdown on the backside, that most of these people are not the people that I see when I go to meetings at night. So it's clearly a way to engage more people in the discussion and not the same people that have been engaged in the discussion. So we're excited about using an online format for community planning purposes and to extend the knowledge base among the general population about this important public policy issue.
Yeah. So what have you been able to garner from those playing since July? What kind of information are you gathering?
Well, we certainly have the ability through the game to discern whether a comment is positive or negative. So depending whether that question is, do you think homeowners should be completely responsible on their own? Do you think the town should help? Do you think the state should help? We get a good feel for where people are on particular questions like that, but we do get some demographic information back too. And given the age, the higher average age on the Cape, over 50% of the people that played the first time were over the age of 50. So I thought that was a good sign. Originally, when we were working with Emerson College on this program, and originally there was some concern that because of that, the demographics on the Cape, that we might have fewer players, but that was not the case.
Yeah. So tell us what the game aspect is, because I know you're getting input as to what people, how they feel about certain, especially the nitrogen levels, but how is it a game?
It's a game in that we present some basic information in these different areas, and so you have to be able to answer questions in order to progress in the game. And then there are offshoots from the game where you have to go play other games and get information in other places and bring it back to the game. And although it is geared towards sort of a high school level right now, to engage students at that level, the final question in each of the missions is really a difficult question. So I think it will appeal not only to students, but to the average citizen, certainly to the people who played online over the summer.
Right. And, of course, this all relates to the 208 process. So explain what the 208 process is and where we are.
The 208 process, well, the number comes from the section of the Federal Clean Water Act that references these regional planning efforts. And so the Clean Water Act was passed in 1972, and in 1978, the CAPE did its first regional water quality management plan under Section 208 of the Clean Water Act. It hasn't been updated since then, and we are now dealing with significant problems in our marine ecosystems with degraded water quality from increased nitrogen loading, primarily from wastewater discharge in people's backyards. A lot of people don't know it, but about a third of the Title V or on-site systems in the state are on the Cape. And so this has created an environmental issue for us that is of great magnitude when you look at potential solutions, in, at least in a conventional sense. So we're trying to educate people about the problem and come up with creative solutions.
So you know, you might want to also mention that we had this lawsuit sort of hanging over our head, which is now dismissed, right?
Yes. Well, no. There was a lawsuit that's been hanging around for almost 2 years now with the Conservation Law Foundation and the Buzzards Bay Coalition as plaintiffs and the U.S. EPA as defendant. Before they filed suit, they also notified the commission that we were potentially a defendant also because our predecessor, CCPEDC, had done the 1978 plan. Mm. There was a motion for summary judgment several weeks back now, and all of the counts in that suit were dismissed except for one. The one remaining count relates to whether EPA has a mandate, whether they have to keep these 208 plans that were done previously updated in order for towns to qualify for federal funding. So in our case, on the Cape, towns may not be able to qualify for SRF funds to build wastewater treatment facilities if we don't have an updated 208 plan, if the plaintiffs were to prevail on that count.
Gotcha.
So that still hangs around, and that's important because it's a money issue and it's directly related to the plan that we're doing.
Yeah. And so the comments and suggestions and ideas that are developed and collected through these two games, that's going to be used in this planning process to update the 208 plan, right?
It's going to be used in the planning process. And, you know, EPA and DEP have been working with us, and we know we have to find a new way. The Cape has so little infrastructure now that we can't use the more traditional methods addressing this problem. We don't have enough population. We don't have any existing infrastructure. We've got to find a new way. And the good news for the rest of the country and the rest of the East Coast, at least, is that if we can find a new way to sort of deal with this issue, this non-point source nutrient part of the Clean Water Act, this challenge to it, then it should be replicable up and down the East Coast. So a lot of people are watching.
Yeah. The Assembly of Delegates passed the Capewide Fertilizer DCPC, and I know a lot of people have been hearing about this and, you know, hearing a lot of controversial comments. So tell us what that really means and what it covers.
Yeah, the Fertilizer DCPC that was passed by the Assembly of Delegates will allow the commission to put forward, working with the Cooperative Extension at Barnstable County, to put forward proposed regulations that the 15 towns on the Cape can now opt into so that they can regulate nitrogen on a regional level because it has such an impact on potential impact on the wastewater issue itself. Mm-hmm. If we simply reduce the amount of nitrogen that we use through fertilizers, we'll be able to shrink the footprints of the capital facilities we might need to build in order to solve the problem. So that is available to now. The state acted last August and basically said towns couldn't do it on their own. Falmouth had done it at town meeting. Their ordinance was invalidated by the Attorney General's office. Subsequently, they got put back in, and they were exempt through an outside section of the budget. But that really left most of the other towns on the Cape out of luck. Mm. So the DCPC allowed us to bring them back in and give them the benefit that Falmouth enjoys.
And so the new game launches again, would you say October 21st, right?
Launches October 21st.
Yep. And we'll put a link on our website to your site, capeandislands.org, so folks can check that out. And you'll keep us updated, I'm sure, on your progress?
I will.
All right. Paul Neswicki, Executive Director of the Cape Cod Commission. Thanks for bringing us up to date.
Thank you, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.